As we come to our second to last week in the book of James, next week will be our last week. We've come through a passage about a church that is going through a difficult time, people that are suffering. Probably has to do with persecution, might have to do with just a difficult world that they lived in. And like you and I, they experience difficulties as they go through life. I'll ask you this question. What do you say to someone who's going through difficulty? How do you help them? How do you comfort them? What advice do you give them? And I'm throwing it out. What do you say to someone who's going through a tough time? Pray. First answer, hit on the right one. All right. Last week we talked about perseverance. We talked about faith. We talked about patience because the Lord is returning. But then James gets right down to the heart of it. You got to pray. You got to go to the Lord with these things. And we're going to read our passage now from James chapter 5. This is for the church 2,000 years ago who was going through a tough time, but it's for us today. The Bible is always useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we're in James chapter 5, 1199 in the Blue Bibles, and we'll start with verse 13. James 5, 13. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So there's a few things we're going to touch on in here, but obviously the main point of that whole section is prayer. And what's interesting about the book of James is the book of James talks about a lot of bad ways that you can use your tongue, a lot of bad ways that you can talk and things that you can say. Here's a good way. Here's probably the best way is to pray and to praise God. That's the best way to use the words, the mouth, the tongue that God has given to you. And as we come to this passage, we think about bad ways that we could use our tongue. We talked about complaining. We talked about grumbling. We talked about saying hurtful things to our brothers and sisters. But instead, we should be praying. We should take it to the Lord. And I want to talk to you, there's a phrase that's thrown around in our culture a little bit, and I know what people mean by it, but sometimes I just wonder if it's the right phrase, the right thing we should be saying. You hear people say, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And it's a nice thing to say, you're trying to comfort someone, right? And my understanding is people are probably thinking, I am thinking about you, and I am praying for you. Okay? And I hope that's what people mean. But I hear also people say, I'll send positive thoughts your way, or I'll send positive energy your way. And I just want to say, I have no idea how to do that. It's not a typical human ability, right? It's to be able to I'm going to try to get that thought over there to you. We're not telepathic, right? We're not. Maybe we will be in heaven. I don't know. We can't read each other's minds. Maybe that's how we're meant to be, and we will be someday. Maybe God can give that gift or ability to somebody here and now. But that isn't typically how it works, right? And so what I don't want people to think is I don't want people to think that thoughts and prayers are equal. It's good to think. Be a thinker, okay? It's not good to just be vacant, you know? Think. Think about important things. Think about noble things, things of God, right? But when we pray, it goes up. It arrives in the throne room of heaven to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the Almighty hears our prayers, and then He responds. He loves us. He responds in a loving and a powerful way. So thoughts and prayers are not the same thing. Me thinking about you, although you could say it's nice, it doesn't accomplish a thing. Me praying for you accomplishes lots of things because a powerful God hears the prayer, and that same loving God answers prayers. Not always in the way that we like, but let's remember who we're dealing with when we pray. And you know, I have to say, I was thinking about this message this week, and preparing a sermon is kind of a weird thing. It's an interesting thing. It's always circling around in the back of your head, and it's never really done. And I had this thought this week that there's something missing, that I missed something in the sermon. There's something I want to say about the Lord that isn't there. And then Deb came to me this morning and said, you know, I've been reading Isaiah 40. And it just hit me at that moment, that's what was missing. And I'm going to read it again. I read it at the start of the service, because let's be reminded about who we're dealing with when we pray. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Does anyone know that song? Some of you know that song? Do you not know? Right? Okay. Okay. Maybe not. All right. We won't sing it then. But it's a great song, and it's based on the NIV version. It's word for word scripture. It's a great song to sing. Maybe we'll sing it one of these days. But it talks about the greatness of God, and it talks about people who get tired and weary, even young people. You know, I've even seen Caleb get tired, right? A 9-year-old boy, right? More energy than anyone I've ever met in my life. He gets tired, right? I get tired. You get tired. The Lord never sleeps or slumbers, right? He never grows weary. He's always listening. He's always available, and he's always sovereign. All the time. There's no break for him. He doesn't need one, right? I know he rested on the seventh day, but still, he doesn't need a rest. That was a model for us to follow. So remember this. When you pray, we need to think vertically, because sometimes we get caught up in the horizontal. I know I do. Life gets busy, things, a lot of things going on. Life weighs me down, and I start to think about what I can see with my own eyes, right? And then you got to remind yourself, oh, I got to go up here. I got to take this up. I got to take this vertically, right? And it even says here, if you're having some trouble, you should pray. But what if something good happens in your life? You should praise God, right? You should go to him with that praise. It says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Let's take it vertical, right? And just think about this. When we pray, it doesn't mean our prayers are always going to be answered the way that we want. Sometimes bad things happen, and sometimes life situations change, and we can't really fix that. And sometimes God doesn't answer us in the way that we want him to, but he hears us, and he always answers us. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait, right? But he always answers. He's a loving God. He hears our prayers. And with this passage here, there's something else to think about, and that is that the book of James, as I've talked to you about, it's not a rule book. It's a book about our relationship with God. And think about that relationship. Think about when you're in a close relationship with somebody, you just want to talk to that person. You want to be close to that person all the time. When something big happens in your life, you want to tell that person. When something tragic happens, you go to that person first. When something great happens, you go, you need to tell this person. Think about the husband and wife relationship, which our relationship with the Lord is likened to that, right? It's to the husband-wife relationship. You know, people say, well, I pray first thing in the morning and I pray before I go to bed. Good, good. But I want you to think about it in terms of relationship. What if I were to say to Christy, okay, I'm going to talk to you at 7 a.m. and I'll talk to you at 10 p.m. Okay? You know, maybe 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Okay? Good. Good relationship. If a couple came into my office and said, that's when we talk, I would say, you got problems. Okay? Right? You don't do that. Or you can say, well, I pray once a week on Sunday morning, right? I'll talk to you next Sunday too. All right? She's actually going away, but we'll talk. We'll talk this week, right? But when you're in a relationship with somebody that you love, you talk. Right? You're in this relationship. you're talking, you're listening, you're praising, you're crying out. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. So it's every day, every moment. And it's not like you got to be on your knees the whole time. It's that every moment of every day can just, I had a pastor who used to say, punctuated with prayer. Every sentence of your life ends with a period or an exclamation point or a question mark. That's how often you should pray, all day. And as we come together to pray, here's another important part of it. I hear a lot of people say, well, I talk to the Lord by myself. You know, I have my own kind of way I connect with the Lord. And they don't necessarily come to church. They don't necessarily connect with other believers. That isn't what God wants. God wants us to pray to Him directly, no question about it, privately, definitely. But He also wants us to come together. The church is important. And that's why He says here that if you have a problem, come to the elders. Those are the leaders in the church. And it doesn't mean that elders are in any way better than anybody else. We're all Christians. We all believe in the Lord. But God has given us this church structure. He has told us that elders should be leaders. He has given elders a standard. And we're supposed to be godly prayers. We're supposed to be people who are committed to prayer and ministry of the word. That's preaching and teaching. So we are supposed to be doing that. And I will tell you, we do that. We pray for you. We get together at our meetings and we pray for you together. We pray privately for you. I had an elder, I won't say which one it was, you'll have a 1 of 3 chance of guessing who it was, but I don't want to, out anybody here. But this elder said to me a while back, I just realized at one point how much I love these people. You have people who are leading your church who love, and that's true for all the elders, including myself, right? I think speaking for all of us, is that we love you, and we want to pray for you. We want to bring your requests and your praises to God, and we want Him to bless you mightily. That is what we desire in your lives. That's what we seek. And, as we pray, it's what we're called to do. Sometimes people will come to me and say, I'm sorry to bother you, Pastor, with this. You are allowing me to do what God has called me to do, and that is to pray for you. You are never bothering me. I understand I'm a human and I might get tired or busy or whatever, things like that, but that's what I'm called to do. That's what elders are called to do, and that's what everyone in the church is called to do. We're called to pray for each other. And now it says here in this passage that the elders will anoint them with oil and pray for them in the name of the Lord. Now, one of the things, this is a controversial passage. There's like books written on this particular passage. What does it mean? What's the oil all about? A few different things. The oil was a sign of blessing from God. It was typically olive oil. When kings were anointed, they had oil poured. When David was anointed, he had oil poured on his head. Jesus was anointed. Okay, it's a sign of blessing and favor from God. But it was also used by the people in that day medicinally. They would use it to soften wounds and to soften your skin if you're going through some kind of a painful or difficult time. And there's debate over which it is. And I see probably it being both. But can we do that in our church? Can we anoint people with oil? Yes, we can. We haven't done that. Maybe I'll talk to the elders at our next meeting about that. But the point is, it's not a magic potion, right? God answers prayers without oil, right? So I wouldn't get stuck on the oil too much, okay? God answers our prayers. God loves us, He hears us, and He answers our prayers. And He heals us, He forgives sin. Isn't that great what it says here? He forgives sin. We can come to the Lord and be forgiven. We can be healed physically, we can be healed spiritually. And isn't it great that God doesn't hold our sins against us? And then He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Here's the church aspect of it. If you can confess your sins to God and He forgives you, then we should be able to confess our sins to one another and be forgiven and have all of us look past each other's faults, because we all got them, right? We're all sinful people. We should be able to be open. We should never be a different person outside than we are inside. We should be able to be open with everything in our lives. And I understand you've got to be careful with that. And there are certain things that maybe you don't share publicly. But it's good for us to come to one another and confess. Maybe if you're a man, you find a brother in Christ. If you're a woman, you find a sister in Christ. And you go to that person so that person can pray for you. It's the church aspect of it. God calls us to pray. He tells us we must pray. It's not an option. God says we have to pray. That's part of God's plan, that we do pray to him. And Deb gave me this morning, and you probably all got one of these handouts this morning. And these are handouts from our missionaries. And of course, we support our missionaries financially. But there's an even greater, more powerful way to support them, and that is through prayer. Please take these home. Please pray for our missionaries. You know, these people, some of them are in really tough places. And even if they're not, even if they're in the U.S. or in a relatively easy place to live, ministry requires God's power to get anything done. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. But it also says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, nothing. With him, everything. Okay? Pray for these people, please. Our missionaries, more than anything that we can give to them, need the power of God in their lives, ministering to people. Do not forget about these people. These people have been called by God to do a great work all over the world. And in this passage, we're given the example of Elijah. And Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed and it rained. That's power, right? But it says he was just a man. And if you ask me, as I read through the Old Testament, Elijah was kind of a grumpy man. And he was kind of, at times, a depressed man. He's just a regular guy. I'm not saying that to be critical of him. He's just a regular guy. He seemed to be a really tough guy, and God put him in tough positions. At one point, he seemed depressed because he seemed like he was the only believer left. He was the only true prophet left. And God strengthened him. God said, no, I get 7,000 more. God strengthened him and gave him power to do amazing things. That's the power of our Lord when we go to him. A regular guy was used to accomplish great things because he prayed to a powerful God. The prayers of a righteous man or woman or boy or girl are powerful and effective because we have a great God. And what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be right with God. It means to be in relationship with him. It means to be forgiven. So if your faith is in Jesus and you're walking with him, you're righteous. So your prayers do reach heaven. And God loves you and God answers your prayers. And my encouragement to you today is to pray. Is to pray today, to pray tomorrow, to pray without ceasing. I know when things get going in life, it gets so busy. But, you know, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said, my life is so busy that I can't even get through the day without 2 hours of prayer. Think about it that way. And then you hear that and you're like, oh, I don't have time for 2 hours of prayer. Maybe if you prayed, you would, right? Maybe, and I'll be honest, I feel like I don't have time for that much of just set aside time. But there is time to pray all day. Whatever you do for work, whatever you do at home, there is time to pray. Shut off the TV sometimes, pray. Shut off the TV all the time and pray, right? Shut off the device and pray. And pray while you're on the device. Pray. Is the message coming through? Please pray. Because that's where our power is. And that's where your relationship is. Talk to your father. Isn't that great that he lets us call him that? You know, what a personal name that he allows us to call him. You know, we should be calling him maybe Your Excellency, Your Highness. And we can call him that too. But he lets us call him Father. Jesus lets us call him Friend. Wow. Jesus. We're called his friend. We can talk to him. And let's remember that that is the most important relationship in our lives. And, you know, I will say that. My wife is sitting right here. My most important relationship is with Jesus. I love him more than anybody or anything else in the world. Pray to him because he loves you. And if you do love him, you will love people. So that's my prelude to our prayer time. You may understand why I held the prayers to the end. Because I want us to pray with the understanding of the power that's available there. Father, for all the things that we've mentioned today, that people have spoken, we give you praise. We praise you and thank you that you made us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for watching over us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord, that you carry us through each different chapter in our lives. You know what's coming next. Lord, we thank you that even before we speak, you know our thoughts, you know what we're going to say. We thank you that you use our prayers to accomplish your purposes. We thank you that we get to be part of that. We thank you for the dignity and privilege of being able to pray to you and having you respond to us. And Father, we lift up to you all the prayer requests that have been mentioned today. You've heard each one already. We lay them before your throne, trusting and believing that you are all-powerful, that you can do all things, and that you love us. And Lord, also trusting that when we don't get our answer, the one that we want, we know that you're sovereign, and we know that you know what's best. Lord, we confess to you that we have sinned, but we come to you today thankful that you've provided a way for us to come to you, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. And we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.